Good to see you all this morning. My name is John Holtorf. I'm lead pastor and part of the teaching team. Hey, if you guys have been with us over the last month or so, you know we just completed a series called Hope in the Dark. And in this series, we had people fill out these cards that were, we called them our Hope For cards. And we said, what are you hoping for in 2020? And it was really cool to look through those cards and see all kinds of different things that people were hoping for. People were hoping for emotional health and just, you know, even physical health. People were hoping for healing. People were hoping for self-discipline and freedom from addictions, freedom from anxiety, freedom from depression. We had people that were hoping for some self-confidence or had hope for our children or our families or our relationships or marriages. All kinds of different things that people had hoped for. But it was interesting as we went through the cards and kind of looked at those things and prayed over them, that one of the things that stood out to me was the number of people. The one theme kind of rose above all others, and that was hope for our personal finances. And I want to tell you something. I love how God works. I love to look at some things that happens and how he correlates things, how he puts things together, and how you look back on those things and you say, man, God, You designed this. You created this. You made all of this come together. I mean, what are you talking about, John? Well, here's the deal. Last October, after some time of preparation and praying over different things, Brandon and Sam and I, we got together and we laid out our series for 2020. We started laying out, here's where we think we're going to go. And it started in January with Hope For, and it followed up in February for a season or for a series on personal finances. And I love to look at that, and I love to see all those things are. And we obviously, even in the midst of all of this, we didn't even know that in our Hope For series that we were going to have people fill out these cards that said, hey, what do you hope for? That was something that came later. But you look at that things, and you see all those things, and you see that the number one theme that's coming out of this is all about hope, hope for our personal finances. And it's just another thing for me that just reminds me that, man, I'm so thankful that God leads us in the way that he does. Now, don't get me wrong. Brandon and Sam, they're a couple of pretty smart guys. I mean, but they're not that smart. I mean, come on. I know that I dragged them down a little bit, and I understand that maybe that was part of me being part of that. But I love seeing those things. I love seeing how God works and how he does things. But here's the deal. My guess is that when I said something about personal finances, that we're going to be talking about that, some of you, there was like something that kind of went on inside. You're like, oh, gosh, we're going to talk about personal finances in church. It's like, ah, not my most favorite subject. And I wonder, well, why is that? Because sometimes, you know, we'll hear something on maybe a prayer or digging into the Bible, and we start thinking about it. Like, oh, man, I really, really needed that. But there's something that happens sometimes when it comes to the church talking about personal finances or even just even in our own talking about finances. Sometimes we just don't want to go there. And I started wondering, well, I wonder why is that? I started thinking, I know why. I know why because I've had many of the same thoughts and feelings. I know why because I have lived paycheck to paycheck. I know why because I like stuff. I know why because I've heard false proclamations of the prosperity gospel. I know why because I couldn't fathom how being generous can actually help my finances. See, money is near and dear to us. We've heard teachings maybe in the past and in the church or whatever else about money that maybe have felt made us feel guilty or made promises that are not true. And I don't want that to happen today. I want you to please hear my heart in what I'm going to bring forward today. But I do know that no matter where you are in your finances, no matter what your feelings are about the church talking about money, that I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you came today, and I believe that there's a reason why. And here's the deal. You can choose to ignore everything else that I'm going to say. Don't ignore this. God loves you. He loves you. He's crazy about you, and he loves you just as you are. You don't have to do anything to gain God's love because he chooses to love you first. You don't have to give to earn your salvation. You don't have to give to be accepted into the family of God. You don't have to give to be blessed. But here's the deal. I truly believe that there's things that we're going to talk about today and throughout this series that may change what will happen in your finances in 2020. There's even some great places for you to start. You probably heard the definition of insanity before, right? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result. How often do we do that in the area of finances? I know I've been guilty of that. Like, oh man, I hope this year things go better. Like somehow the change in the calendar year changes things, and I still do the same things. Realizing that's not what it's about. But if here's the deal, I know that sometimes when you dive into these things and we look at some things, what if I considered what God says about money? What if I tried something different this year? I want to encourage you to tune into this series. If that's you, you think, man, I want to try something different. We're going to have 4 weeks on this. There's going to be different things each week. So if you don't like what you hear this week, come back next week. Maybe there'll be another place for you to start. Let's pray as we dive into the message this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you for who you are. And thank you that even in the midst of a tough subject like money and finances, that you are in it, Lord. I truly believe as I look throughout Scripture, there is so much that's being said about this area. Father, I just pray that your truth is spoken today. I pray that anything that is of me, and that it falls on deaf ears. But Lord, I pray that as individuals, as we hear your word, as we lean in today, for Lord, I just pray that whatever you want us to hear, that you make that true. And Lord, this is something that I know is between us individually and you. And I pray that you speak to us loud and clear. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many of you have heard my story before, but let me just give you a really quick synopsis to bring everybody up to speed. Some of you may not have heard. I graduated from college and I went to work for Nike for 2 years. And after that, I left there to become a drug dealer. Yeah, see, I knew that would get some of your attentions because when it was like, what did you say? So that's the only thing you're going to remember today is that that's what John said. So actually, it was a legal drug dealer. It was a pharmaceutical rep. I worked for a pharmaceutical company. But it's much easier to say it that way because people get your attention much more when you do it that. But really, I learned that, and I climbed the corporate ladder on there. I had several different sales rep positions doing different things, and then I became a regional operations manager in Chicago. And I was climbing the corporate ladder. I was doing the things that I needed to do, and I was actually really financially successful for a guy in his late 20s with a family of three kids and married. And just I'm really, you know, kind of looking from the outside, thinking, gosh, that's actually doing really, really well. And when it came to church and time of giving, and you know, I'd come and I'd give here and there, and I just wasn't consistent. It was more sporadic and spontaneous in my giving. I'd kind of go, well, do I have my checkbook? And if I had my checkbook, okay, well, darn it, I forgot my checkbook. I can't give today. Or I'd pull out my wallet. And I used to have this wallet that was just this massive thing. It wasn't because there was a lot of money in it, but you know, you just had these big fat wallets that had pictures in it, and I know you have it all on your phone now, and now, but there's pictures in it, had punch cards for every different place you went to. So all these things, but I would open up and look and say, okay, there, I got some cash, but I don't know if I want to give all my cash away because then I'm not going to have anything for this next week. And so what do I do? And so I was really sporadic in my giving. I wasn't consistent when I wasn't even prepared to want to come to church in what I was going to give. And even though I was making some of the best money that I've ever made in my life, we were still living paycheck to paycheck. But I started testing the waters in this area of giving and what God was teaching me when it came to generosity. For me, this was a journey that I know God was teaching me and showing me a way that he was faithful. I just needed a place to start. So I started to give. And I kept three things in mind when I would give. I would want to be regular in my giving. And that took a little work to figure out what does that look like, to be sacrificial in my giving. But amongst all of them, probably the most important piece was to be cheerful in my giving. Now, this really didn't make a whole lot of sense when I really looked at the numbers of it. Again, we were still living paycheck to paycheck. But as I read more and as I started to talk to others more and really prayed about it, I really felt God leaning into me saying, if you want things to look differently, if you want things to change in your finances, you need to start here. You need to start giving. You need to start by being generous, And I believe that no matter where you are, no matter what your situation is, man, if you're in debt and you don't know how you can possibly get out, if you really feel like money's got a control of your life, if you always feel like, man, I just never have enough money, if you spend compulsively or you hoard like crazy, I believe that the truths that we're going to talk about over these next few weeks, I believe in my heart that they can make a difference. They will set you free. One of our core values here at Northern Hills is that we give until it hurts. And a scripture that we have that helps support part of that, of our core values, from the book of Mark. It's going to be our main text for today. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 12. There's Bibles that are in the back. If you need a Bible and you don't have one, man, we would encourage you to grab one and take it home with you. We'd love for you to get in to look at these scriptures yourself and dive into them yourself. But we're going to start in verse 41. It says this: Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people came in and are put in large amounts. And then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. So Jesus is doing what often Jesus did, and he would observe the things that are going on around, and then he would pull his disciples together to teach them different things. Verse 43, Jesus called the disciples to him and said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all of the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, as poor as she is, gave everything she had to live on." Now, before you get too worried, let me address a few things that Jesus isn't saying here. Jesus isn't saying that we should give away everything that we have. Everybody let out a big sigh. Whew. That would be irresponsible. That would be just crazy. He's not saying that. Jesus didn't say that that woman was better than the others, or that he loved her more than he loved others. Just not true. But what he is saying here has to do with their hearts and how the widow of all the people was trusting God to provide for everything that she had. See, money isn't inherently good, and it's not inherently evil. Money itself is just a tool. How we use our money can be helpful or it can be hurtful. Money is just a tool. For the last couple of months, I've been working on finishing off our basement in our house. And I love the kind of the do-it-yourself stuff. I love working on things and having a project to work on. I know it probably comes from even back when I was in high school. One of my first projects was my car. And my dad had bought an old kind of car that was beat up and needed some work done. So I was taking off fenders and I was putting things together and spray painting. It was a beautiful car that had primer on front end and whatever the natural color was on the back end for a little while. But I thought it was pretty cool because I worked on it, put it together. When we bought our first house, we moved into a home that didn't have a garage. And my dad came out and we helped build the garage. So I learned a lot of different things and how to use a lot of different tools and learned that, man, certain tools are really helpful in being able to accomplish certain things. But I also learned that if you don't use the tools correctly, they can hurt you. I don't know how many times that I've hit my fingers, thumbs, hands, knuckles, whatever, with a hammer. Now, you would think I know that I'm swinging something that's large and heavy, that I should not have a hand in the way. Doesn't happen. I come out with scrapes, you know, cuts, all kinds of things. I've cut my hands. Even the other day, I was just doing something, and I was cutting off, simple task of cutting off the end of a coax cable, just a little copper thing. And for some reason, I didn't know where my other hand was, and I squeezed down, and I punctured my finger. I looked down, and I'm like, huh, there's blood gushing out of my finger. And I'm like, that hurt. It took me a little bit to figure out. But the reality is I look at those things and look at all the tools that I've used, and they can be very, very helpful. But they also can hurt me, especially if I'm not using them correctly. Money is the same way. It's just a tool. It can be used as God's designed it to be, or it can be misused and end up hurting us. Money has so much power in our lives. It is the power to create, to grow, and to impact things for the kingdom. But money only has the power that we give it. It only has the power that we give it. I don't know your story, and I'm not here today to tell you what to do. And please hear me. I'm going to tell you what I've experienced and some of the freedom that I've experienced by what God says about this subject. And before we go too far, I want to address, because often when we talk about money in church, there's a feeling that, man, all the church wants is my money. There's a reality that the church relies on generous donations from people. We don't have an endowment. We don't sell a product. It relies on generous donations, not just Northern Hills Church, but all the churches. They rely on it. So there's just truth in it that we rely on people's donations to bring things forward. But here's the deal. I want you to understand that this concept of being generous doesn't apply just to here. Because if this isn't the place for you to give, find a place to give. Find a place that you feel like, I want to give here, and be generous. Give towards something. So today I want to start by giving you the reasons I've decided to be generous. They may not be for you, and that's okay. You get to make that choice. Remember, nothing that we do earns our salvation. It's a gift that was given to us by Jesus, by his death and resurrection on the cross. But here's the reasons why I give. And maybe for you, this is a place that you want to start. Maybe you want to try something different. Reason number one that I give is I want to trust God more and I want to trust money less. I want to trust God more and trust money less. I love this verse, 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, teach those who are rich, which he's talking to us. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. I love how that even ends there, how all we need for our enjoyment, not just all we need, but all we need for our enjoyment. Because money matters. I mean, we need to have money to take care of obligations that we have, to keep roof over our heads, to allow us to be able to eat, to have groceries, to buy food, all of those things. None of us can get around any of that. But here's the deal. I find that if I let it, money as much as anything else in my life has the power to control my life. It can sway my decisions. It can cloud my judgment like few other things can. Money can bring out the worst there is in me. And then to add to it, worrying about money is one of the easiest things in the world to do, isn't it? It is so easy to do. Because we're all tempted to trust in money. I find it incredibly ironic that on our dollar bill, what does it say in it? It says, in God we trust. And the reality is I think we end up trusting money, or at least money competes with our trust for God much more than anything else. Money is something that I'm continually tempted to trust in. I can remember how many times in my life that I said, man, if I just made a little bit more, if I just had a little bit more, then I would be able to give. Then I would be able to do this or that. Or then I'd feel much better. But then what would happen? I would get a raise or I'd get some more money and the same thing would happen all over again. As a society, I really believe that on some level that I think we believe that money can be trusted and that it will make our lives good if we only have enough of it or a lot of it or maybe at least just a little bit more than what we do right now. Here's something else for me that's really helped in this way of being able to trust God more and money less is being generous first. Being generous first. My trust is increased when I choose to be generous first before I pay the bills, before I spend money on other things, before I even save. All of those things that I look in those things, I need to trust first. Because if I comes off the tail end, once I'm sure that I've got enough to pay my bills and do what I want to do and spend where I want to spend, and then just give whatever's remaining, it simply doesn't require a whole lot of trust. And the years over, I've seen it happen where maybe I don't give because I felt like things were tight. I've been tempted to, maybe should I just wait and see how things financially go this month, and then I'll give what I, quote, planned to give. But when I did it that way, I missed out on an opportunity to grow in my trust to God. Here's the truth I found in it. I think the happiest, most at peace people I know are people who trust in God more and trust in money the least. So for me, giving first is something that I want to do because I want to keep growing in my trust. So that's first reason. First reason I give is I want to trust God more and I want to trust money less. Second reason that I want to give is that I want to actively express my love to God. I want to actively express my love to God. Now, I could have said because I love God, and that would be true, but there's a reason why I chose to say I want to actively express my love to God versus just I love God. Because the longer I live, the more I realize that love is an ongoing choice and a decision to commit to, not just some static fact. Loving actions don't just show my love. They help me build my love and make it stronger. Think about it. I know, like, in my marriage, if I tell my wife, Terry, if I say, hey, I love you, and I love you, and I tell her that, if I tell her that a lot, that's a really good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I should do that. But the reality is, if I just tell her that I love her, but I don't do anything that actively expresses my love to God, at some point in time, she's going to wonder, is it true? Because nothing shows, there's nothing that follows up that gives her the evidence that I do. Love is something that you grow and you grow and you grow into. And the fire of love is fueled by us choosing to love, to actively express our love. One time Jesus asked, what is the most important commandment? And the answer was really quite incredible and to the point. He said, the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I realize, man, what an incredible challenge that is. That's hard. I've got a long ways to go, and I'm going to spend my whole life probably learning to love God more and more. At least I'm intending to do that. But the money thing is like anything else in our Christian life. It's a love thing. And if it's not, God wants it to become that for each one of us. Because I ask myself the question, how can I love God with all that I have and all that I am if I don't include my finances in that, if I withhold that peace from him? See, God himself doesn't need my money, of course, but his work on earth does, and that's how he's designed it and how he set it up. But God has given me this one life to live, and I want to love him with all that I've got, and I do love him. But I want to love him more and more, holding nothing back from him, just like Jesus held nothing back from me. It's a love thing. That's why. So I give because I want to actively express my love to God. The third reason that I give is because I want to be part of something that's bigger than myself. I want my life to matter. I want to, I truly believe that the church is the hope of the world. And I want to be part of what that is. You've heard me say it before. When I say church, I don't mean Northern Hills Church on its own. I mean the global church, those that gather for the purpose of knowing, growing, and going in the name of Jesus. When I understand God's purpose, when I see that, then it helps me get to understand my purpose and what that looks like. John 10:10 says this, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Then in Matthew 6:19-20, Jesus tells us, don't store up your treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasure in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. See, God created us, each individual, to pour out, not to store up, to pour out beyond things that will last beyond us. See, having nice things, buying nice things, that's not bad. As I told you earlier, I like stuff. I like nice stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I know that life is much more than gaining stuff that money can buy us. There's something that I refer to often as God's economy. And if for a while I didn't really understand it, I didn't really get it. Because this whole idea of being generous in the midst of things, it's like, well, how can I accomplish more financially if I'm giving away a portion to a different place? And I don't know that I can really have words to describe it, but there's something that happens. There's something that happens when we learn to be generous. When we learn to give. And the interesting is, I've shared that with other people, and I've walked alongside them in their journey of generosity, and they say the same thing. This is a decision I wouldn't stop away from, or wouldn't stop and wouldn't go away from, is learning to be generous. A quote that I think really describes this really well is one that I heard the other day, and I couldn't agree with it more. It says, God can do more with 90% than I can do with 100%. I think that kind of wraps up this whole idea of what this God's economy looks like. But the whole idea of this is that when I understand that I'm into pour out, not store up, I get to see that I'm part of something bigger than myself. And here's just a few things that I've experienced and things that I've seen because of that I know that this is true. See, early in my role as a pastor, I got a glimpse of the power of Jesus working through a church. A guy came into our church, and the only reason that he walked into our church that day was to see his kids. See, he'd been told by his separated wife that the only way he could see his kids, see, he was an alcoholic and a drug addict. The only way that he could see his kids that day is that if he came to church to see them. And so he came, and his plans was to really see them one last time before he went to take his life. But God had different plans for him that day. And he met Jesus, and his life was changed forever. And I see things like that, and I know. And I see other things, like over the last 18 years, I've seen God work in all kinds of different ways. I've seen marriages that have been on the way of heading out, but God has found them. He's healed them. He's brought reconciliation together because they found new hope through Jesus. I've seen people who've hit their lowest points in life encountering Jesus, maybe for the first time or maybe just rediscovering him again. I've seen students, it's so awesome, taking the faith that their parents have tried to instill with them and making it their own because of things and people investing in their lives and building into them. I've seen kids that have been loved on and truly experiencing the love of Jesus, encountering the real love of Jesus. I've seen people who have been sick being healed. I've seen a community of believers that have rallied around all kinds of different causes, like investing in the lives of kids around the world, investing lives of the kids right down our road. I've seen people who have been part of all these different things, who've found some hard times, and they've found themselves without a place to call home, and a community of believers loving on them. I've seen others who have come beside those who have experienced loss and just leaning in, listening, supporting, and being there for them. I've seen those who have been trying to work through their hurts and their habits and their hang-ups, all because they understand the purpose of what God's called them to. And here's the deal. Even though I may not have had a direct part in those stories, I know by being generous that I've allowed some of that to be possible. I give because I think the church is one of the few things in the world is providing hope in the dark. We live in a challenging world, in a challenging time, but I think being generous is a big piece of that. My journey to become generous and to be generous hasn't been perfect. When it comes to our personal finances through our marriage, it's been kind of like that game, Chutes and Ladders. You guys remember that game? You know, you're going right along and you're taking your steps going space by space, and all of a sudden you hit a ladder and you get to climb up a few, and things are feeling good. You're starting to find some energy and things are happening, and all of a sudden take one more step and you hit that chute and down you go. And you feel like, oh, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to take that step? How am I going to get back to where I was? Well, one thing I do know. When I started figuring out this area of being generous, the ladder seemed to happen much more common, and the chutes seemed to be much less frequent. These are some of the reasons why I give. None of this makes any sense to you? That's totally okay. If any of it resonates with you, I want to encourage you to start here. Be generous. Give somewhere. Manny, if it's not here again, find a place where you can keep those three things in mind. Be regular in your giving. Figure out, how can I support this on a regular basis? Be sacrificial in your giving. Be sacrifice enough to be able to trust God. But most of all, be cheerful in your giving. Because God loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't want us to give grudgingly, but he wants to give because we understand that we are part of something bigger than ourselves. Would you pray with me as we close out our service? Father, thank you. Thank you for providing. Thank you for what you do in our lives. Lord, thank you for your word. And even, man, in this area where it's tough, as we lean into those things on finances, God, I just pray that we find your peace in this, that we find your will and your instruction. Father, I pray for a blessing upon our people. And I know that have all kinds of different situations where money just seems to be ruling the day. I pray for breakthroughs. I pray for ladders. We can climb out of those spots so we can be who you want us to be in this area. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for providing so great in so many different ways. I pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at nhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.